This is WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. As Sandy retreated from the region, it left behind waterlogged debris that's brought a new variety of risks. Everything from mold to sewage spills to toxins in floodwaters to a lack of running water and flushable toilets. Already, as the New York Times reported today, local health officials are seeing an increase in rashes, coughs, and respiratory difficulties in storm-damaged zones. They're also concerned about physical and mental stress for those struggling to clean up and rebuild their homes. Here to talk with us about some of the health risks post-Sandy is New Jersey Health Commissioner Mary O'Dowd. Commissioner, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much for having me.
What are some of the hazards people are facing right now during this phase of the recovery from Sandy?
Well, some of the things that we're most concerned about, aside from some of the mental health issues that you indicated, are as people are going back to their homes that were either flooded or severely damaged by the storm and they're working to clean them up, individuals may become injured as a result, so they need to be careful when they're trying to repair their homes. But also, if because of water damage, there's significant mold in the area and in those homes, we need to make sure that they're cleaned up and safe. And so we've tried to make a significant amount of resources available, including a hotline for individuals who need to call in order to clean up mold. And the reason mold is a problem is, especially for those with underlying lung conditions such as asthma or emphysema, mold can really worsen those conditions and cause problems for those individuals.
We heard about something called the Rockaway cough in the New York Times today. Are you hearing reports of similar respiratory ailments from people cleaning up in New Jersey's Sandy-stricken communities?
We haven't heard of any significant increases of those types of incidences being reported. We have heard anecdotally of more individuals coming to emergency departments shortly after the storm for those types of issues. But we are hoping that many of the people that are working on their homes are using all the appropriate precautions so that they're not affected. However, we also know that many people haven't been able to get back to their homes to do that work. And so we are continuing to conduct surveillance of those areas with our local health officials to monitor if we do see an uptick in these types of concerns.
So getting the word out to people who have yet, who are going in the process of rebuilding or have yet to start assessing their home damage, should they be using masks first and foremost?
I think depending on the condition of the home, masks are certainly an appropriate tool to use to protect themselves, as well as gloves. Depending on the area where you are, you might have had some significant contamination in your community, depending on whether or not the home is older and may have asbestos or lead as part of the fundamental fabric of the house. There are a number of different environmental health issues that people should be aware of. So certainly using all precautions are a good prevention tool and can't hurt.
You mentioned asbestos, certainly a big problem requiring, from my understanding, like full-blown hazmat kind of suits. How is there any rule of thumb to know whether your house contains asbestos?
Well, usually if you've purchased your home, you will have gone through an inspection prior to purchase, so you should be aware of some of the potential contaminants in your home, such as lead. But I think one of the things that individuals can do if they have any issues or concerns, particularly if you're in a New Jersey region that was affected, is call our 211 call center. We have public health professionals standing by to listen to your concerns and try to walk through the different types of potential actions you can take to protect yourself and your family.
Let's talk about people struggling to stay warm, although most communities are back online with power, but there's still some communities that are not. The Times reporting some hospitals in the region seeing a high number of burn cases as people use candles for light and heat. Are you aware of any uptick in fire injuries in New Jersey?
There were a number of fires reported, and we did have evacuations related to them very shortly around the storm and shortly thereafter. Not so much now, but one thing that we have seen that was concerning is several of the deaths that were associated with the storm were a result of carbon monoxide poisoning. And this is something that people should understand going into the future. If they're using a generator at home, owners may not realize the potential dangers of using those generators incorrectly. So now is the time, even if you have power, to become more familiar with how to use a generator safely. In fact, five of the 37 deaths in New Jersey were associated with carbon monoxide poisoning, and three of those were cited directly to generator uses. And if they're not used properly, they may produce high concentrations of carbon monoxide in your home and result in injury or death.
Again, Commissioner O'Dowd, for people who want to call and get some further guidelines, what is that number they can call?
They can call the 211 call center in New Jersey to get any kind of information, and we also have public health professionals standing by to support those individuals. And as well, I would encourage anyone to look at our website. We have information about electrical generators, how to use them, mold removal, and a quick reference guide to hurricane recovery that includes a number of different benefits or tools, such as disaster assistance through FEMA, food assistance, housing, and other health and mental health conditions.
New Jersey Health Commissioner Mary O'Dowd, thanks so much.
Thank you.